Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the BAQA. The BAQA. What you say? What you the BAQA mandate? The BAQA with Tiffany. The BAQA.
Welcome back. That's a little reggae flavor on that one today.
The BAQA. Little Rasta. This is Brian.
I'm here for it.
Question answers. You have questions. We have some answers. Although we are not your mama, your cousin, we are just your internet friend. So we're not your attorney, financial advisor, doctor, any of those things. AKA the people that you pay for advice. That's who you should lean into with just a little bit of salt on that meal. Just a little sprinkle. So see your grandma, not us. Okay, our lawyer friends love when we say that.
And we have consulted them and they say continue doing it. Ooh, but today is my day to shine,
yes,
y'all.
It's career day.
Question day.
So at least let me read the questions, because if you said you got to, I got to get something in.
Tiffany goes, take a stretch break, take a nap, you know. Tiffany has tons to always add to the convo, but we are taking y'all's career questions. And if you want to submit questions, whether it be career, business, relationships, dating, we know some things. Hit us up at Brown Ambition Podcast on IG. You can send us a DM. You can also email us, brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. We love getting y'all's questions. And while you're at it, leave us a review too. Because if you can type a question out, you can type a review. Yes. That's just a fact.
All right,
Tiff, can we get the first question, please?
Me. I'm just going to be reading questions today. Mandy's going to be answering them. Me.
Come on, Vanna White.
This question is for Duke. From Duke, because that's not his real name, but they said to leave his name out. Hey, I've been a listener for years. I wanted to ask a question. Leave my name out. So we're just going to call you Duke. Duke says, how do you deal with getting a raise at a job when they don't discuss it with you before you find out it's happening? I'm stuck with just take what we gave you, or do I have options to advocate for more? My raise is more of an oops adjustment to my info being wrong in their systems, years of service experience and whatnot. I'm still up for a merit raise that comes up in June, but I just found out randomly. In my words, our bad. We have been playing you all these years, and until we upgraded the system and people put their own information into it, it would have never been changed. Duke, thank you for all y'all do. Blacklist. 100%, 100%. Yes.
It's a little bit confusing at the end what he's trying to say as far as like the system and people putting their own info into it. Mm-hmm. However, this is really familiar to me. And on the one hand, I'm like, kudos to your company for making a change when they saw that there was something amiss. Mm-hmm. But I also understand how it can feel as an employee to get the news that you have basically been underpaid. Mm. You said for several years at this point, which would... You know, I don't know how much the adjustment was for you. Maybe it was a couple $100 or whatnot, but you can start to spiral, you know, into thinking about all of what you could have done with that money over the years and what it means that you haven't been paid your worth. And that really sucks. As far as like negotiating it, they've already done that work behind the scenes. And at that point, it's been decided for you. Like, okay, based on this new system that we've got for compensation, we're going to be making compensation adjustments. And compensation adjustments are basically when the company itself is saying, we're either underpaying this person or they're not in line with like this new, if they come out with like a new way of describing their pay bands, or in this case, it sounds like years of service play a different role in, you know, calculating compensation than it had in the past. So they're like, we're just going to square everybody up so we're all on the same page, and then we can move forward from that same page. And you've seen, I've heard of some companies also in the wake of 2020 doing some work to identify racial pay gaps, which is entirely on the company and the people working behind the scenes at that company to find out. Because if you have been employed, you know, got hired recently, they don't ask you for your racial information. So it's really people, because or their your ethnicity, it's like not required of a company to track that kind of thing unless they really want to. So companies, or gender for that matter as well. So companies have to go out of their way to try and see, okay, where are their pay discrepancies? And then if there are pay discrepancies, what are we going to do about it? So on the one hand, like I said, like, I'm glad that they did this work. Can you negotiate it at that point? No, because you don't have any of the information. The best you can do is with this experience is think about, okay, well, I definitely can't trust these these mofos to keep track of what I'm worth and what I should be getting paid. So I'm going to make it my business to stay in the loop, like be, you know, stay in a space where you can understand what your value is in the marketplace. By that, I mean, take job interviews and see what other companies are offering, regularly scout for job openings that are similar to the role that you have. And especially in states where they actually list the salaries now, you can see if you're being paid on par with what those salary bands are. Find some, you know, some trusted colleagues, peers in your space, and find a safe way for y'all to talk about your salaries. You know, be careful of who you speak to, but you definitely can build relationships with folks who will be candid about what they're paid. And so you can stay in the know about your own value, because this has shown you that when you leave it up to a company and human beings who are biased and have busy careers of their own, and things can slip through the cracks, no one's going to care about your worth and getting and paying you equitably. No one's going to care about that more than you, Duke.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times, because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That being said, you found out that you're up for the standard merit increase in June. That's all very cute, but that doesn't mean that you still can't negotiate more on top of that. So I would definitely, start doing your research, start putting together your own idea of what your value is based on years of service and all of that. And if you want to ask for an additional raise, I would do that ahead of that June review cycle. And it can't hurt, honestly, but to have the strongest case for a raise in June or even before that, you want to be out there now. It's March. Start hitting the job applications online now. Start, letting people know that you're interested in different opportunities. Because if you have a real offer or even the idea of an offer on the table, that's going to give you some real leverage And it's just way more likely that the company's actually going to give you that increase if they think they stand to lose you, which if you don't have another job offer, they're kind of like, we just gave Duke a pay adjustment. He's fine. He's not going anywhere.
So Mandy, would to lose you. So if he's been underpaid, say like it's just 4 years and it was $200 a month, should he get all that back money?
That's really on the company, okay. I think. But I also think that if they haven't offered that, and thanks for asking.
Okay.
Because that's a piece that I believe, like for example, I would ask them for more details on like, what is it about my pay that, how did you guys adjust it? And then if it's based on years of service, like, so how long has it been that I have been underpaid and can we get a lump sum, you know, bonus of some kind, a bonus that doesn't, that, you know, can, that's going to hit your account and after taxes be as much as you were, you know, be as much as you were granted. That's called like, what's it called? Truing up.
Okay.
Or I forget what that word is.
Okay.
There's a word for it. They can basically, so let's say, in total, you were underpaid by $1,000. So instead of just giving you a bonus for $1,000, which will be taxed at your regular tax rate, they would do it like, let's say your tax rate is 20%. So they would give you like a $1,200 bonus. So the taxes can come out and, you know, you're left with about, you're about made whole, made even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's worth looking into. And I mean, I don't know what the legal, I don't know if there's like a,
legal standing, like if I was underpaid, like what does that mean?
I mean, at the end of the day, unless you could prove that they discriminated against you and that's why you were underpaid, then I'm not sure. And that's really hard to prove that because you're a woman or because you're a person of color, we paid you less. You would need to have a lot more information. You need to have information about what every other person at the company in your role was making and compare it. So it's a real high, what's that expression in law? So it's a high bar. It's a high bar.
But even if it wasn't because of like color or gender or whatever, if they just, if they admitted, hey, we've been underpaying you, like for what your role
is. Well, listen, they can justify, companies can come up with so much justification for why they're paying somebody. Well, you know, this person came from a higher price point from another company. They were hired in the past year. You've been here for 7 years and, you know, they keep giving you these merit increases. Okay. This is another example of why being loyal to a company for a long time can actually leave you in a space where you're underpaid compared to the market, because you may be getting these merit increases, but not the big compensation increases that you would have had you had to go into the open market and people bid on you and, you know, give you a higher pay. So yeah, there's a bunch of ways, and they're not all like, I've said this before, but like as a hiring manager myself, I had ended up with people on my team who were doing similar work, very similar work, and being paid differently. And I had to even sit with myself, like, how could I let this happen? Mm. And a lot of the times it's not because we are malicious, evil people. It is because time goes on. You forget, the market changes, someone comes in and a certain budget was the way it was when they were hired. And then the economy changes, the business changed, the business plan changes, you get less of a budget the next time around. And it's like, there's all these different tugs and pulls. I don't know what that means. There's always different things sort of tugging on the money, the purse strings, you know? But again, that is why it's on you, the employee, anyone who's working, to really advocate for yourself and make sure that, you know, you're not falling through the cracks. And that's very unlikely that you're going to end up in a situation where you're being undervalued compared to the market. And yeah, just a really good example, Duke, of you need to be keeping your eyes open to the market, staying open to job interviews, don't get too complacent. And at the end of the day, don't trust anyone else to care more about paying you fairly than you do.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a breaky break. We're going to come back. Oh, before we take a break though, I'm going to do like, because the next question, the person made it very clear. They don't want to hear from me. So I am going to give a little advice myself just in meantime, because because I know this is a career segment, but, and if you watch, if you listen to our Wednesday show, I made an admission that I'm really intimidated about active investing. I invest passively. I have a retirement account, I have investment accounts, but just kind of like set it and forget it, which is much better than nothing. And actually, it's a really pretty solid strategy. But I've always wanted to learn how to actively invest. I used to watch my dad do it, and I kind of just felt like it's too hard. It's too hard for me, despite all the hard things I've learned how to do. So I told myself, this is the year the excuse stops. And so I reached out to my friend, Terry, and I asked her if she would coach me. Terry, you might know her from Trade and Travel. She had the number one, not just investing class, number one course on Teachable, period, mm-hmm. for like 2 or 3 years in a row. She has taught thousands of students how to invest. And what I love about Terry is that she's actually an educator. She actually was either assistant principal or principal for a number of years. She went to MIT, just really smart. But she was like an assistant principal for a number of years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, before she started her business. So Terry's just really smart and just a really, when I look for someone to help me, I look for people who not just know the knowledge, but can show you the knowledge, like through teaching, like know how to actually teach. Cause I'm a teaching snob since, you know, I used to teach. So anyway, I asked Terry to teach me and she was like, I can do that. But also, just so you know, in April, she told me this maybe in February, that I have a 5-day challenge that you should join, but also participate, like speak at. And I was like, well, I can't speak cause I'm not an active trader. And she said, no, that she's having like guest speakers come on to talk about what does it look like to prepare to invest? So I'm actually going to be talking about how to budget and save money so you have money to invest. But Terry is doing this 5-day challenge. Day one is like, what is the stock market? So it's really for beginners. Day two, what are index funds? Day three, what is a brokerage account? How to open one so you can actively open one. This is where a lot of people get hung up. Day four is how to buy a stock. You'll be able to buy a stock live with her. And day five, how to sell a stock. So it's really taking your first trade to break through to say like, I can do this thing. And of course she has other things that she teaches like more in depth. Like she has like an 8-week course or whatever, but that's not what this is. This is just a 5-day. I want to get started. And so this is what I'm starting with. So I am speaking about budgeting and saving and getting ready, but I am an actual student, like taking the class. So if you want to do this challenge along with me, Terry gave me like a special link. It'll be in the description show notes, tradeandtravel.com/thebudgetista. That's tradeandtravel.com/thebudgetista. It's happening in April. I think, what was it, Mandy? It was like the
15th to the 19th.
Yes. And it's from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, from 15th to the 19th, that you'll be able to like watch and take class with us. So it should be a good time. And so if you are a beginner like me, a little nervous, but know that you have the capability and you actually want like a teacher to teach you, this is my coach. And so I get to share her with you. Tradeandtravel.com/budgetista in the show notes. So we're going to take our break and come right back because we have another question from Mandy. Oh, whatever.
This poor listener doesn't know what she started.
I'll just tease it.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of 3 pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We are back, BA fam. So this listener is TMI. Where do you see the not so subtle shade? I ain't mad at you, TMI, because I'm not going to lie. This is a Mandy question. She says, hey, Mandy and Tiffany, I love you both, but this is a Mandy question. I love that, though. Honestly, I do.
TMI.
So TMI says, I got offered an amazing position at a new company making $20,000 more a year from my current position. That's amazing. Should I tell my current employer the reason I'm leaving, or should I just put in my 2 weeks and dip? Oh, yes, that's right. Dip, baby, dip. Go ahead.
Dip, baby, dip. Come on now. I love this. What a great, great question to put alongside the question from Duke in the first half of the show, because you're seeing what can happen, Duke, if you are out there in the job market. Like, she's about to get a I'm saying. 20K raise, they're never going to give you that kind of raise internally at the company unless you are like blackmailing them for some reason. Like you have some proof of evidence that your CEO is up to no good, whatever. You can get this kind of raise by quitting your way rich. Like I talk about all the time. But this is a very simple question. So that obviously 20K more, I mean, come on, that's, you know, reason enough to leave. But I hope also it gives you like the step in your career that you want and you're going to work for a great team and all that. But asking, you know, should you tell your current employer the reason you're leaving? I mean, that's really up to you.
Okay.
My question for you would be, do you have any interest in staying if they were to match your offer? And if the answer is hell no, even if they give me 20K as well, I don't want to stay here anymore.
Okay.
Then you could let them know, you know, at the end of the day, it came down to the compensation, but also, you know, wanting to leave for X, Y, and Z reasons. But it's really like, do you care enough? Because that information is only going to benefit them if they care to listen to it. But there's not really a lot to be gained on your end from telling them why you're going to be leaving.
Okay.
It's also like, you've heard of exit interviews, right, Tiff?
Mm-hmm.
But just, this is a Mandy question, so you know. Just trying to like keep you in the loop, but like also noodle budget. What? But the exit interview is another thing I get asked about a lot. Like, should I really lay it all out in the exit interview? And I always say, like, at the end of the day, if it's going to make you feel lighter to get that off your chest, okay. It's really in the company's interest to get that kind of feedback, but it's not the time to settle a score or air your major grievances because it's going to be delivered to an HR person and they may just, you know, take the proverbial, you know, piece of paper, ball it up and throw it in the trash and say, Kobe, you know what I mean? Like your rant may never go anywhere. So yeah, it's up to you. If you want to tell them, then fine, but you can absolutely ask your manager for a meeting and say, you know, I had such a great experience working on this team. I've loved getting to contribute and do X, blah, 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 blah. But I've decided to take another opportunity at a different company. There's nothing that requires you to say what company you're going to, and especially if you think you have a non-compete agreement and you should check. Like, you don't need to say what company you're going to. You don't need to give any kind of details. Just say, you know, I'm going to keep it private for now, but I'm going to be leaving and I'm happy to put in, you know, do a 2-week notice so that, you know, you guys are not left in a bind. And then you can just shut your face and
dip, do the baby, rest of the dip, time. Come on. Dip. That's going to be the name. Yeah. That's named the podcast, this episode, Dip Baby Dip.
Dip Baby Dip.
To the left, to the left, to the right, to the right, to the front. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, but congrats, because that's freaking amazing.
That is freaking amazing. No, and honestly, like Mandy gave the best advice. I don't have anything to add to that other than like as an employer, certainly I would like to know if I've lost a really good person, but you don't owe that to me. Mm. You know, like, I mean, it would be nice to know, like, oh, Tiffany, it's been great working here. But, you know, I did, because I might not have the 20,000, but it lets me know, okay, this is the cost of what it costs to keep somebody really good. Let me keep that in mind for the next time. But certainly I'm going to wish you luck and be like, I love that for you. But every employer is not going to be like that. So.
For sure. And it'd also be nice, I think, as an employer to hear that there's really nothing I could have done different. Mm-hmm. It's just the pay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about money. Yeah. And if that's the case, again, you have to be ready for what if they say, hey, well, we can match this offer. We don't want to lose you. What's your answer going to be then? Are you willing? Because I've been asked that before multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I usually just go ahead and say, you know, this is a really great opportunity to me. Mm-hmm. Even if y'all would be willing to match it, I would be, you know, really honored. But I'm going to end up taking this new role and then kind of give an example like it's a leadership role. It's this, that I'm moving, etc.
Yeah.
Because you want to ideally keep that relationship and keep it healthy because you never know where they may end up and vice versa. You don't want to act too crazy, too cocky, be like, you know, dip, but, you know,
do you want to put too much
grenade behind your back?
Not too much dip on your chip, honey.
I don't even know what that means.
So
but
that just means
like
you know,
expression.
Like we have a chip on your shoulder, basically, like you're feeling yourself a little too much, like you're overloaded.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this couldn't, y'all couldn't hold me.
Let's take the Michelle Obama high road.
Yes.
You know, like just we're always trying to live to that expectation, right? But no. Great question. Thank you, TMI. And I hope I did you proud.
Yes, you did.
And you, what was your name again?
My name is Tiffany. I'm just here. Sidebar. Did you see what the Kellogg's CEO said about families that are struggling financially? That's okay.
They should eat cereal for dinner?
Girl.
Am I making that up?
I said, is this a simulation of stupidity?
First of all, have you seen cereal prices lately?
I mean, you can't even afford it.
As a woman who buys them, girl, they're fucking expensive.
I remember cereal was expensive when I was a kid because my mother was not buying the fancy Kellogg cereal because it was too much money.
It'd be in the plastic baggie.
I mean,
we would get the Tutti Frutti's.
We would get the, you know, whatever the white box name, you know, like the
Life cereal?
Girl, you know, like, you know,
Cheerios.
Like, so if it was called Cheerios, we would get the O's.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. The Tutti Frutti, the apple, the, what
apple
was it?
Apple Jacks was delicious. So it'd be like apple snacks.
Apple Dapples. That's what it was at Ingles. The Ingles in Georgia.
So it was
apple
expensive dapples. Then, let alone now, please. We couldn't even have a regular cereal. But can you imagine the level of, like, just ignorance, lack of awareness.
Being out of touch.
Like, oh, that's okay because they can eat cereal. What are we in the US of A and not in USA that we're suggesting that babies should go to bed with just sugary snacks? Like, what is even, what an idiot. Anyway.
Kellogg's fans rejoice to see cereal being sold at all-time low after CEO's controversial comments sparked a boycott of the brand. Frosted Flakes, they didn't reach my grocery store because Frosted Flakes were still hella expensive. Yeah, they were 99 cents
really?
At some stores. Listen.
Well, he's
one
an
day
idiot.
Sale.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll be back at it. But yeah, I just thought that. It was just because I know I felt left out. So I had to put a little something in like, I had something to say.
I know. It's very Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake.
Yeah.
Let them eat Kellogg's.
Yeah, that's very much what he was giving. You know what happened to her,
you know
right?
What happened to her.
Exactly. I'm glad we're right here, Mandy.
Mm-hmm. I did not miss that day in history class. We did what? Oh, man. Well, it looks like they're getting their just desserts and the public continues to do the right thing with these boycotts.
Yeah. So, well, if you enjoyed our BAQ, and we know you did, and you have questions to ask, you can. We are Brown Ambition Podcast on social media, on IG. Slide into the DMs and ask your question. Mm-hmm. Always make sure that, you know, if you don't want us to say your name, let us know. Ideally, give us a fake name that we can use because it's fun. And you could also email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. If this was an episode that you liked, you know you did, share it, please. We would love more people to hear from us. Share
not the
it.
Begging.
I know, tag
we're
it.
We're okay.
Put us
like,
on
share
social.
It, I guess. We thirsty. Real thirsty there.
Share it. And then also, too, leave us a review because reviews are how more people even find us. We already have thousands of reviews and we would love thousands more. And I said more. We love y'all. Okay.
Please.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Dip, baby. Dip. Come on now. Dip, baby.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.